Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, I have an announcement, and I think I'm going to make this announcement part of the broadcast. We know who the Antichrist is. Just in case you haven't found out yet, we know who the Antichrist is. He is alive and well in the earth. And in this first hour, we're going to go through news, current events, worldview on those news and current events from a biblical prophecy reality worldview. And in the second hour, we're going to take a look at a document that I found as I was researching this week. And that document is the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy with Exposition, a very important topic for our day when so many are abandoning the Word of God or choosing to understand it in any way they so desire. Okay, news and current events. So, well, first we have ongoing is what's happening at the World Economic Forum, the Antichrist and his minions. See, because here's how the Antichrist works now. All of you futurists, preterists, all you Bible believers out there, whatever brand of Bible prophecy that you believe in, you do believe that the Antichrist is going to come and impose a financial mark, as it plainly is stated at the very end of chapter 13 of the Revelation. Therefore, the Antichrist must have control over the money of the world. And if you were the Antichrist and you had money, control over the money in the world, and you wanted to get your way in the world, you know, you wanted total absolute authority over the world, what would you do with that money? Well, of course, you'd give it to people and projects that support what you want to do. And you would also withdraw it from things like FirstAmendmentRadio.net and people that are against what you want to do. After all, you control the money, right? Okay. So anyway, this is an Antichrist project here, a project of the Antichrist and his shadow government and their minions. And they have minions. They have a myriad of people working for them. Probably a majority of the people that are working for them have ideas and a mindset that pleases the Antichrist, even though they don't know who he is or that they're working for him. So the Antichrist, as I said, he supports through his shadow government and their minions and the money powers of the world, he supports what he wants. And of course, one of his favorite projects today is the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. And of course, at the head of that is this character, Klaus Schwab. So that's what we have going on here today. And this is reported on the CHD, Children's Health Defense website. That is Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website. And you'll hear more about it today if you listen in the afternoon as you're listening to our broadcast throughout the day here on whatever stream you choose at FirstAmendmentRadio.net or .com. We are live on, we are not live on YouTube, and there's a reason for that. And there's the reason right there. This video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines. That's right. And that was the broadcast we did 2 weeks ago, which they struck right after I did the following broadcast the next week, where I had the audacity to speak about the the documentary 2000 Mules. And it probably said some things that YouTube or Google did not like because they control the narrative and they don't allow what they don't want, the narrative they don't want on their format or their forums, and that is Google and YouTube. So anyway, we're not on YouTube. So we're free to say anything we want. Yeah. We don't even have to couch it in different terms. So goodbye, YouTube. And we are now live on, what are we live on? Okay, we are live on Rumble. That's right. That's what you're watching right now. If you're in the chat room, that's Rumble. And that's what I'm posting on my blog now. And you can follow that through to our Rumble channel. And we are live on three audio streams of various kilobit sizes. And then we are live on DLive, Trovo, Odyssey. And thank you for all the listeners over there at Odyssey. We got 38 people over there listening at Odyssey. And I don't know how I'm not going to check all these channels out. But anyway, that's it. The strike. So here we have the Antichrist, his shadow government, and their minions hard at work. Klaus Schwab, the leader of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or the Fourth Reich, whatever you want to call it. They're trying to get their fake millennium in here, where they rule the world and eternal life comes through technology. How about that? But only if you're chosen for it, and if you live through their population reduction schemes that are ongoing. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Preparing for the next pandemic, including Speaker Bill Gates. So let's see what Bill Gates has to say here. I'm just kind of curious as to what the most famous doctor, the most brilliant scientist in the world. Oh, wait a minute. This guy's none of those things. He's a thief and, and a shell for the Antichrist who rules through his shadow government for the world. But let's hear what he has to say.
Since you cover this in your book, how do we come up with a coordinated effort? What is the path to creating some sort of global response so that we can help the weakest link get stronger?
Well, there certainly was time enough for some countries to respond and have, you know, very, very mild pandemics. Ground zero, wherever the emergence takes place, is always going to have the toughest job. Will they see an elevation in respiratory symptoms? Will they see an elevation in deaths? Will they run a diagnostic panel? They're not going to be sequencing everything. But when you get an elevation or you get your normal diagnostic panel, showing something unusual, then you've got to start.
Yes, and you've got to start locking down the world, and I've heard enough. Okay, I'll leave it to the talking heads to sort all that nonsense out. But basically, Bill Gates did tell us something, and we'll talk about what he told us was going to happen for the next. They already game played it, you know, kind of like they had an event 201. Well, they had a monkeypox event 201 here just recently. So we know what their game plan is. They always like to play them out in the first place to make sure everyone, the minions of the Antichrist, all know their parts and what they're supposed to do and what part they're supposed to play to drive forward the next takedown, the next push towards the 2030 agenda of the image of the beast. So there you have it. And here's Bill Gates' smug face. And they're talking about announcing an accord for a healthier world. And that means a way to kill most people on the earth so that we can get to reduce the population down to the Georgia Guidestones guide of ½ a billion people or 500 million. Yeah. And look at that smug face. These murderers of humanity, even if they don't accomplish it, they're still guilty in their hearts because they want to kill as many people as possible. Is there any salvation for this kind of person? Yeah, it seems to me anyone like this, that's on board with this agenda and loves murder and killing fellow human beings because they have no regard for human life or that life is made in the image of God. They have no regard for it whatsoever. So they have no qualms about killing as many people as possible, yeah, to achieve their demonic goals. Okay, so the scripture for today, Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Ah, my nose is itching. Sorry about that. Then shall be two be in the field, and the one shall be taken. This is when Christ comes, in that day. And the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And yes, he repeats it again there. Before he said, no man knows the day or the hour. He says here, you don't know the hour. So if you're slacking off or think you can get away with something, then really you're holding on to sin in your heart. You haven't truly repented. I think that's the message there. So, but eating and drinking and giving and taking and marrying. Yeah. That's what we'll see. And that's exactly what we have going on here. So we come to it. Monkeypox. And I have an article here. Fool me twice, shame on you. Yes. I can't believe it's monkeypox season already. And I haven't even taken my Ukrainian decorations down. Or you could have said, it's Ukrainian season already, and I haven't even taken my COVID decorations down. Yes, what is the next thing they're going to throw up on us? What is the next thing they're going to celebrate? Or what fear porn are they going to roll out before our eyes to fill us with fear and make us turn to them as our salvation or the salvation of the world? Because that's what they're doing. Okay, well, here it is. Bill Gates again shows up. One prime mover for the Antichrist and his final attempt to take over the world, yes, with this great reset and his 2030 agenda being pushed by the image of the beast. Bill Gates' prediction that the world would face an unexpected smallpox outbreak is miraculously unfolding. You notice? Should we be surprised? I know I'm not. Here's the money quote that was delivered by Gates 6 months before the first case was recorded. It'll probably take about $1 billion a year for the pandemic task force at the WHO level, which is going to surveillance, doing the surveillance and actually doing what I call germ games, where you practice. You say, okay, what if a bioterrorist brought smallpox to 10 airports? You know, how would the world respond to that? Bill Gates. One can only marvel at Gates' extraordinary powers of perception. He's like some kind of software soothsayer, able to divine the future from the entrails of animals. Is that it? Or does he have a crystal ball tucked away from somewhere in the bowels of his Lake Washington mansion? Whatever it is truly astonishing. Here's more from the World Socialist website. You know, when I read that World Socialist website, I thought, is this guy joking? Is there really a World Socialist website? So I went and looked. Oh, and there it is. This is the World Socialist website. And these people are serious socialists. So if you want to know what they're up to, if you want to know what the socialists of the world are up to, that's what it is here. The world, and here's the article. Over 100 monkeypox infections detected in 10 countries as unprecedented outbreak spreads globally. Oh, be very afraid. I think that's the point of the World Socialist website, because they know how to control people. First, you know, introduce them to abject fear and And they'll be much easier to control. They'll come groveling before your feet, asking you to please protect us and find something to inject us with that will protect us from, you know, the monkeypox plague that is going to kill, you know, billions of people upon the earth. Please come out with a new mRNA vaccine to save us. Save us, oh, Bill Gates and whoever else, Pfizer and Joe Biden and whoever else you want to worship at the feet of. Anyway, so we can only marvel. An unprecedented, okay, whatever. Here's more from the World Socialist site. An unprecedented outbreak of monkeypox virus has officially spread to 10 countries outside of Africa with 107 confirmed or suspected cases. Yes, we suspect it might be confirmed or suspected. They're not going to give you any numbers there. It's probably like one or two confirmed, but we have a whole bunch of suspected. I probably gave a PCR test to, you know, and they give you how many is in what countries there. Much remains unknown about what is causing the outbreak, which is the most geographically dispersed and rapidly spreading monkeypox outbreak since the virus was first discovered in 1958. In the coming days and weeks, much more data and scientific understanding will emerge, but already there is profound concern within the scientific community and among the public, which has found wide expression on social media. Over 100 monkeypox infections defected in 10 countries as unprecedented outbreaks spread globally. World Socialist website. Yes, we will pay attention to the World Socialist website. Not. Repeat, the most rapidly spreading monkeypox outbreak since the virus was first discovered in 1958. I wonder if that rapidly spreading part has something to do with the way that researchers have been tweaking the gain of function of these unique pathogens in order to make them more contagious and more lethal. Is that what is going on? We'll probably never know. And there's a whole bunch there. Yes, Gates talked about the possibility of a bioterror smallpox attack in his past. His comments have been drawn slightly out of context and don't mention monkeypox. That's a fact checked. So there are the fact checkers already getting on it. Also, you probably heard that Joe Biden and his maladministration have already purchased millions of doses of monkeypox vaccine from a European company. I forget exactly what country it is, but I did learn a few facts about the vaccine. It is smallpox vaccine being relabeled monkeypox vaccine. Yes, indeed. How did they come up with a monkeypox? Because it's a new pandemic. It's going to spread over the whole world. Suddenly, we have a vaccine for it. But I believe it's a regular smallpox vaccine. Of course, there. You know, we've got the big pharma. You know, the pharmacia kings out there are working day and night, sleepless, many, many sleepless nights trying to invent a mRNA version because they want to continue with their mRNA DNA transformation of the world. Yes, they do want to continue with it. So you can find that article there at lewrockwell.com. That one, monkeypox, fool me twice, shame on you. Okay, next one. A smallpox vaccine to prevent monkeypox could cause global smallpox. I warn, do not be that stupid. Understand, if you have damaged the immune systems of billions with COVID vaccines, experts are saying that the smallpox vax, 85% effective in monkeypox, this is not good news. For millions or billions are now immunocompromised. There it is. Immunocompromised from COVID vax, smallpox vax, potential reintroduction of smallpox. Do we do anything extra as to this monkeypox? No. Do we be scared? No. Do we wear masks? No. Do we shut down anything? Schools, businesses, society? No. Do we do some contact tracing? If we think it warrants. Do we do mass quarantine? No. Do we order shelter in place? No. We just live life as normal and turn off the insane, corrupted media. That is all. It is spread among men who have sex with men. Men with men. Mainly, as per reporting, the rise in, yes, actually, the CDC did report that. That is reported from the CDC. I will start with this statement before delving deeper. It is reported showing up mainly in males, young males, and MSM. And I guess that's because of gay parties. So, be very afraid. But the gist is, the mainstream media is not going to focus on this. And they're going to continue to dole out the fear porn to the world and try to get as many people possible to take the new monkeypox vaccine. Now, the attenuated virus could be very dangerous because the attenuated virus that they're giving in a regular vaccine, if you're immunocompromised, you could get monkeypox from the vaccine. Likely. And of course, they're smarter than I am. So they already know this. So hopefully people won't go for it. Oh, fool me once. Shame on me. You fool me twice. Shame on me thing. I think a lot of people are simply, at this point done with Big Pharma and their fear porn of death. Being that so many people died from COVID, not from the virus itself, but from the response to it, and especially the vaccines that have killed more people in the last 2 years since their introduction than all of the vaccines in history. Yes. As an adverse reaction, of course. And of course, yeah, the ends justified the means, or as they would try to get you to believe that, it was worth it, that a few people died to save billions when the opposite is true. Okay. Well, there's our signal for a break. So, you're listening to Across the Border, the Live Prophecy Reality Edition on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, crossstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And now, this first hour, we're going to continue in this second segment, going through news, commentary, events, worldview, that kind of stuff. In our second hour, we're going to talk about the, where is that at? This is it, a Chicago statement on biblical inerrancy. And an exposition of that there. And it'll probably take the whole second hour. But why is something like that important? And why is it important to have a biblical worldview? Well, so that you're not taken in by the Antichrist and his minions, their mainstream media, and the fear porn that they're using to control the world. And most of you probably will never read even a quarter of the Bible in your lifetimes. I hope that you will. And I think possibly people who are listening to First Amendment Radio will probably read at least a quarter, at least the New Testament, maybe in their lifetime. I don't know. But many of you are just busy, and or many of you just do not read, because people do not read today. They do read on their phones, so maybe you ought to load a Bible app on your phone. Make sure you get the King James Version. I've been going to a local Bible study here in town just to meet people and have conversations and that kind of thing. And I was kind of amazed that several people there were using the Living Bible, which is not really even a translation. A paraphrase. That's it. So the Living Bible is not really the Bible. It's a paraphrase of the Bible. And they paraphrased it to death. I must admit. So I got them both on board, both of the people that I met there, to downloading, the authorized or the King James Version. And I said, don't get the new one. Get the authorized one. Make sure it has the these and thous in it. Because it's only written at an eighth grade level. I think you're intelligent enough to handle it. Okay. You put it that way to people, they go, oh, yeah, I think I can handle these and those. Cause that's one thing that, the Antichrist and his minions use to get people to switch over to the newfangled versions, to tell them, oh, those these and those is very confusing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. To hope you could read at least at an eighth grade level, but yeah, don't let them, talk you out of it, therefore. Okay, so we're talking about the smallpox thing. Yeah, I think we're done with that. None of you are going to run out and get a smallpox RNA vaccine because they're going to try to hype it up. They're just going to see how far they can go with this. And hopefully they'll pull back on the fear porn over the war. I even heard Henry Kissinger talking about ramping it down a little bit. You know, he's pretty high up there in the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. So whether he's speaking on his own or not, you never know. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt when it comes from the Antichrist minions, because these are people, and sometimes their programming isn't quite right in line with the Antichrist. So they may say something that seems a little off for them in history, or sometimes they're just playing a part in order to gain, more popularity or allegiance with those people that may be a little suspicious. So if they can pull them away and get them to follow them down rabbit trails or whatever, instead of identifying the Antichrist and his true intention for the world. Because right now, and the Antichrist and his shadow government, they've learned to have many layers of culpable deniability. That's why all you have these myriad of front organizations working for the Antichrist and out there in the front to take all of the flack. But you'll know to a person, you'll just put anyone who's up, way up there, put their name in with the Antichrist in a search engine, and you'll see them bowing down and curtsying or whatever, or having some their picture taken with the great Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is a very popular man. You have to admit, all you futurists out there, the end time Antichrist is going to be have to be popular to deceive the whole world. See, and it's a good thing to be in the world and not of it. So, i.e. not deceived. Okay. All right. So that's monkeypox for you. What else have we got today? Oh, yes, here's another article. Got a lot of articles of monkeypox. The way to stop fake monkeypox virus epidemic is not to get injection. And I thought this was pretty good. That's why I have it in a tab here for you. The virus scare of the day. The fake monkeypox virus epidemic is now being produced at CDC virus factory. It is reported to be spreading across the U.S. and Europe. Lesser mention is made that it exclusively occurs in men who have sex with other men and spreads only within narrow sexual networks. But the media is stoking fear that the pseudo monkey virus, which purportedly has already spread across animal species to humans, will spread in some non-sexual way with humans. But viruses are not germs or microtoxins, are not contagious by airborne spit or mucus, and cannot be spread across species. The only way for human to get an animal virus is by injection. I pause for effect. And I repeat, the only way for a human to get an animal virus is by injection. There are 300,000 varieties of any one virus or flu because of the 300,000 types of different tissues in the human body. A virus is a natural detergent self-made by the human body to mainly purge bacteria. And, you know, I suggest everyone look into what is a virus in reality, where does it come from? With this little bit of education, it can just wipe out all the fear porn out there, because they're using the ignorance of the masses to deceive them, okay? A virus is a natural detergent self-made by the human body. See, viruses don't mate. They don't have little baby viruses, right? You can't put them in a petri dish together and watch them produce baby viruses, because they do not reproduce. They are made by the human body. And then you think, they are made by the human body. And if God made man, then he made viruses. He must have made them. He must have created your body to produce these viruses for a reason. And I believe the reason is they're scrubbers. A virus is a natural detergent, self-made by the human body to mainly purge bacteria, called a cold, or remove inorganic chemicals and drugs, called a flu or virus, or toxins or whatever kind. The internal activation of viruses is dependent on seasonal climate temperature change. Now, this is where he gets into thesis. This is his thesis. So, but I'm sure it's better than anything Pharmakia has or any of the fear porn that's being pushed out. And anyway, you could read on this, on about this. The social misperception about virus contagion is similar to that of beriberi and scurvy, which were once thought to be infectious, but were found to be nutritional deficiencies. And that's probably where the majority of disease comes from. Because if you're nutritionally deficient, your body can't maintain itself properly. You can become more susceptible to toxins and even the scrubbers of those toxins. And plus, if now you're being injected with an mRNA reprogramming software, that reprogramming software that is in billions of people on Earth right now, if they're injected with this other monkey virus, what is going to happen? Scary stuff. Yes, for those of you. So all I can say is those of you that took it and are having remorse about it will never take another one, and don't fall for any more of this nonsense. But look for people who are trying to research and come up with ways to counteract the poison and the bad programming that you allowed to come into your body. Yeah. And do whatever you can to keep yourself healthy. Okay, the author goes on, disregarding all above, media in Spain reports the monkey virus has been found to have spread from human contact in a sauna. Blah, 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 on it goes. Pneumonia can be self-triggered when a person's liver is infected with toxins and overworks liver by eating acidic food. Dr. Beiler, MD, states when the liver is depleted of sodium in order to neutralize its acids, its function may be so severely inhibited that illness results. When there's too much rapid drain of the liver's available sodium, and the liver cells die. And so he's talking about the pox and how it comes. And you know what I say? A pox on the Antichrist. A pox on his shadow government, a pox on them all forever in hell. And I believe that's what they will get. Yes. One of my favorite Disney animations was Robin Hood, a pox on the phony King of England, part of that song. But it reminds me of today, a pox on the phony, yes, pretender in chief in the White House. And the whole Congress and all of these people that have been elected through cheating. A pox on them all. That's what I say. The symptoms of the pseudo monkey pox are curiously similar with the common cold or flu, fever, headache, body ache, fatigue. The distinctive symptom of monkey pox is a rash that occurs all over the human body, sometimes including blisters. It typically means the liver is so infected that the skin tries to discharge the toxins through its pores. So, eat well, stay healthy, and look for ways to improve your health. And stay away from things that are not natural, like soda pops and stuff. You should be drinking at least a quart of water a day, at least. I've upped my water intake. It's improved my health and well-being immensely. Yes, I had to give up some coffee. So I drink less coffee and more water and pretty much nothing else. Unless the goats are milking, yeah, and then I might have goat's milk. Yes, raw, without any hormones, you know, organic goats. Yes, my goats are organic. They eat weeds. Anyway, that's a good article there if you want to check that out. This on Lou Roxwell, or Lou Roxwell, May 23rd, so you can just go back. And the way to stop fake monkeypox virus epidemic is not to get injection. So remember that. My advice to you today is do not take an injection. Yes, especially one purported to have attenuated virus or instruction for your body on what to do with. Yes, to change your DNA. We don't want to have any of that. Okay. It's time to walk away from a hopelessly corrupt federal government that facilitates Biden's destruction of America. Historically, all revolutions arise from societal disruption, chaos, if you will. Case in point is the rise of Nazism. In the 1928 German elections, the Nazis received 2.6% of the votes. In 1930, a year after 29 Wall Street crash, the Nazis received 18.3% of the vote. By November 32, at the height of the Great Depressions, the Nazis were the dominant party with 33.1% of the vote. What we are now witnessing in the U.S. is planned chaos to lay the foundation for revolution. And of course, we can see the revolution is ongoing. Where we'll end up? Well, you all know how I feel about Bible prophecy and living in the land that is represented by the two horned earth beast. And I believe the horns being two distinct powers, one which is like a lamb and one which is dragon speaking. And I believe the lamb-like division or horn power is the people that are not blind, that love the truth. And then the other half is those that are dragon speaking and all of those who are under the spell of the dragon speaking, which is the head of the beast, and that is Washington, D.C. But everyone who follows, everyone who believes, everyone who parrots them, everyone who loves death, yes, that's who we're talking about in the dragon speaking, because not only are they deceived and deceivers, but they are dragon speaking and people who listen to the dragon and are deceived by him. So the Antichrist is alive and well. And who is the Antichrist? Well, he was outed by many before the Reformation. Then hundreds of millions began to recognize when the Reformation broke out in the 15th century. And we, Bible prophecy has unfolded just as the scripture has shown us that it would. And I suggest, if you have the time, if you don't have the time, just keep listening to First Amendment Radio. Here you'll get some good Bible teaching, like the program before this one, a broadcast series that Tom Fress did over the last decade. We have literally tens of thousands of hours of Tom's broadcast and series that were running continuously. And boy, when I was listening to the one before this hour, I'll tell you what, it was as if Tom was speaking it today, though I know that he was speaking in the era of Obama. But everything he said, if he was on the air today, he would have said many of the very same things as they seem me even more appropriate today than they did in the day that he spoke them. So very good listening. And plus I have my broadcast, give you a biblical worldview for 2 hours every morning, followed by news and other, we have good reform teaching, so you get plenty of Bible teaching to be edified and to keep your mind in a biblical world mindset. That's what First Amendment Radio is here for. So hope you're listening through one of our audio streams. You can listen to our app on your smartphone device, on your iPhone. You can go to firstamendmentradio.com/MOBI for our mobile page to listen. Plus, we have many other ways to listen. Just go to our our website, and you can discover what those are. So, it's neo-feudalism. That's what they're doing at the World Economic Forum. They're discussing the great reset, where you will own nothing. And that's what feudalism was. You know, the serfs on the land owned nothing. The laird owned everything, or the lords owned everything, and you had to give a certain percentage of everything you made to your lord, your landlord. Yes. And they will be the landlords, you know, through BlackRock or through property taxes, however. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they will own everything, and you will own nothing, but you will be happy, because the 500,000 people that get to live will be happy that they're not dead. See, that's their plan. That's what they're planning for you and the whole world, the World Economic Forum. So listen for reports. Listen to David Knight this afternoon, and while you're going about your business and doing your daily chores to support the kingdom of God in your family. And you'll learn a little bit more about that. I believe David's covering that topic today in his broadcast. I will be listening. Yes. And so should you be listening. And stop listening to all that other garbage out there. Even these halfway, like all of these antichrists or rebellious antichrists. There's plenty of rebellious rebels against the antichrist out there that are running or really dominant on forums like Gab and Getter and all of the so-called alternative social media. You know what I think? I think we ought to just abandon all the social media. I haven't looked at Facebook in many days. And they wanted so most of my Facebook is I can't even look at it anymore because I refuse to give them a cell phone number because I don't want them tracing me, or you know, I don't want to give them that information. Okay, so I'm not on social media anymore. Facebook is gone. Anyone who wants to contact trace me, they want my cell number. That's what they want, because that's like, you know, that's like the key to their contact tracing and global locating of you individually. And why would I want to give that to an organization like Facebook? I wouldn't. So they keep sending me stuff in the mail. I can't even shut down my account because I can't even log in now. So it's up there, but nothing. So if you've been on any of our Facebook pages, and wondered why there's nothing going on there, it's dead and stopped, well, that's why. And I feel better. Yeah. I feel better, not being on it and even looking at it. It's kind of like liberty. I'm being liberated from social media. I'm being liberated from, YouTube and Google. Because the only reason I would search on Google is over something that doesn't matter, or if I want to know what the official narrative according to the Antichrist is, because what only the Antichrist wants me to see, then you use Google. Otherwise, use alternative ways of searching the internet. Okay, well, this hour went by too fast. Let's see if I got anything quickly to do here. Let's see. No quick fix. Severe pilot shortage reduces flights, sends ticket prices soaring. Yes, they killed, maimed, and adverse affected so many pilots that now there are not enough pilots to keep the planes in the air. So we got to raise the rates, people, because when something becomes rare and the money and supply increases, of course, it causes inflation. So it's supply and demand. And that's why, that's how they rob you. They dilute the value of the money so they can spend billions. So I think I calculated it, 40 billion to add to our deficit, 40 billion for the Ukraine is 114, $115, from every man, woman, and child in the United States, 350 million people. So you divide that up 350 million ways, it's $114 and a few cents for each and every man, woman, and child in the United States. How do you feel about that? Yes. Yes. Make sure you fill out your inquisition forms. Oh, that was 10 days ago, wasn't it? Oh, no, that was a month ago. You know, April Fool's Day, speaking of. Yeah. And make sure you give plenty of money for that egregious and unconscionable act. That and killing millions of people. That and supplying mRNA death shots for the entire world, or at least the entire American public, if not the whole world. Okay, when we come back after some news and a break here, if you're listening live, we'll be talking about the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy with an exposition. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation: An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And in our final segment here, we usually jump to prophecy or the Bible. And that's exactly what we're going to do in my research, because I'm writing a book on the millennium question. And I think I'm going to be ready next week to share. I think I will have it. I'm still working on it, though. Is my exposition of the chapter 20 itself. I'm going to have to update my exposition on the entire Revelation with a new chapter 20 because of that, but that's easy enough to do, to do a revision. But anyway, so you want to come back next week, and I'm going to do the whole chapter 20. If I can squeeze it in, maybe I'll open the broadcast with it to make sure I get it all in. But anyway, the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, I think I've heard this referred to before, but I've really never looked into it. And I really was looking for someone who more agreed with my method of interpretation, and I found that everything they say here I agree with. As far as finding errors in it, I found a few punctuation errors, and that's about all. And I only found one place where I would actually add a little bit to it. But beyond that, I don't think it needs to be changed at all, because there's even people talking about updating it. No, when you get something right, you get it right. But anyway, so this is the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, and this is the preface here. The authority of Scripture is a key issue for the Christian church in this and every age. Those who profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are called to show the reality of their discipleship by humbly and faithfully obeying God's written word. To stray from Scripture in faith or conduct is disloyalty to our Master. Recognition of the total truth and trustworthiness of Holy Scripture is essential to a full grasp and adequate confession of its authority. The following statement affirms this inerrancy of Scripture afresh, making clearer understanding of it and warning against its denial. We are persuaded that to deny it is to set aside the witness of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit, and to refuse that submission to the claims of God's own word, which marks true Christian faith. We see it as our timely duty to make this affirmation in the face of current lapses from the truth of inerrancy among our fellow Christians and misunderstandings of this doctrine in the world at large. This statement consists of three parts: a summary statement, articles of affirmation and denial, and an accompanying exposition. It has been prepared in the course of a three-day consultation in Chicago. Those who have signed the summary statement and the articles wish to affirm their own conviction as to the inerrancy of Scripture and to encourage and challenge one another and all Christians to growing appreciation and understanding of this doctrine. We acknowledge the limitations of a document prepared in a brief intensive conference and do not propose that this statement be given creedal weight. Yet we rejoice in the deepening of our own convictions through our discussions together, and we pray that the statement we have signed may be used to the glory of our God toward a new reformation of the church in its faith, life, and mission. We offer this statement in a spirit not of contention, but of humility and love, which we purpose by God's grace to maintain in any future dialogue arising out of what we have said. We gladly acknowledge that many who deny the inerrancy of Scripture do not display the consequences of this denial in the rest of their belief and behavior. And we are conscious that we who confess this doctrine often deny it in life by failing to bring our thoughts and our deeds, our traditions and habits, into true subjection to the divine word. We invite response to the statement from any who see reason to amend its affirmations about Scripture by the light of Scripture itself, under whose infallible authority we stand as we speak. We claim no personal infallibility for the witness we bear, and for any help which enables us to strengthen this testimony to God's word, we shall be grateful. The Draft Committee. A short statement. 1. God, who is himself truth, speaks truth only, has inspired Holy Scripture in order thereby to reveal himself to lost mankind through Jesus Christ as Creator and Lord, Redeemer and Judge. Holy Scripture is God's witness to himself. 2. Holy Scripture, being God's own word, written by men, prepared and superintended by his Spirit, is of infallible divine authority in all matters upon which it touches. It is to be believed as God's instruction in all that it affirms, obeyed as God's command in all that it requires, embraced as God's pledge in all that it promises. 3. the Holy Spirit, Scripture's divine author, both authenticates it to us by his inward witness and opens our minds to understand its meaning. 4. Being holy and verbally God-given, Scripture is without error or fault in all its teaching, no less in what it states about God's acts in creation, about the events of world history, and about its own literary origins under God, than in its witness to God's saving grace in individual lives. 5. The authority of Scripture is inescapably impaired if this total divine inerrancy is in any way limited or disregarded, or made relative to a view of truth contrary to the Bible's own. And such lapses bring serious loss to both the individual and the church. Articles of Affirmation and Denial. Article 1. We affirm that the Holy Scriptures are to be received as the authoritative Word of God. We deny that the Scriptures receive their authority from the church, tradition, or any other human source. Article 2. We affirm that the Scriptures are the supreme written norm by which God binds the conscience, and that the authority of the church is subordinate to that of Scriptures. We deny that church creeds, councils, or declarations have authority greater than or equal to the authority of the Bible. Article 3. We affirm that the written word in its entirety is revelation given by God. We deny that the Bible is merely a witness to revelation, or only becomes revelation in encounter, or depends upon the responses of men for its validity. Article 4. We affirm that God, who made mankind in his image, has used language as a means of revelation. We deny that human language is so limited by our creatureliness that it is rendered inadequate as a vehicle for divine revelation. We further deny that the corruption of the human culture and language through sin has thwarted God's work of inspiration. Article 5. We affirm that God's revelation within the Holy Scriptures was progressive. We deny that later revelation, which may fulfill earlier revelation, ever corrects or contradicts it. We further deny that any normative revelation has been given since the completion of the New Testament writings. In other words, there's no new books being added to the Bible. Amen. Article 6. We affirm that the whole Scripture and all of its parts, down to the very words of the original, were given by divine inspiration. We deny that the inspiration of Scripture can rightly be affirmed of the whole without the parts, or of some parts, but not the whole. Article 7. We affirm that inspiration was the work which God, by His Spirit, through human writers, gave us His Word. The origin of Scripture is divine. The mode of divine inspiration remains largely a mystery to us. We deny that inspiration can be reduced to human insight, or to heightened states of consciousness of any kind. Article 8. We affirm that God, in His work of inspiration, utilized the distinctive personalities and literary styles of the writers whom He had chosen and prepared. We deny that God, in causing these writers to use the very words that He chose, overrode their personalities. Article 9. We affirm that inspiration, though not conferring omniscience, guaranteed true and trustworthy utterance on all matters of which the biblical authors were moved to speak and write. We deny that the finitude or fallenness of these writers, by necessity or otherwise, introduced distortion or falsehood into God's Word. Article 10. We affirm that inspiration, strictly speaking, applies only to the autographic text of Scripture, which in the providence of God can be ascertained from available manuscripts with greater accuracy. We further affirm that copies and translations of Scripture are the Word of God to the extent that they faithfully represent the original. Yes, I've thought on that many times myself. We deny that any essential element of the Christian faith is affected by the absence of the autographs. We further deny that this absence renders the assertion of biblical inerrancy invalid or irrelevant. Article 11. We affirm that Scripture, having been given by divine inspiration, is fallible, so that, far from misleading us, it is true and reliable in all the matters it addresses. We deny that it is possible for the Bible to be at the same time infallible and errant in its assertions. Infallibility and inerrancy must be distinguished but not separated. Article 12. We affirm that Scripture in its entirety is inerrant, being free from all falsehood, fraud, or deceit. We deny that biblical infallibility and inerrancy are limited to spiritual, religious, or redemptive themes, exclusive of assertions in the fields of history and science. We further deny that scientific hypotheses about earth history may properly be used to overturn the teaching of the Scripture on creation and the flood. Article 13. We affirm the propriety of using inerrancy as a theological term with reference to the complete truthfulness of Scripture. We deny that it is proper to elevate Scripture according to standards of truth and error that are alien to its usage or purpose. We further deny that inerrancy is negated by biblical phenomena such as lack of modern technical precision, irregularities of grammar or spelling, observational descriptions of nature, the reporting of falsehoods, the use of hyperbole and round numbers, the topical arrangement of material, variant selections of material in parallel accounts, or the use of free citations. Article 14. We affirm the unity and internal consistency of the Scripture. We deny that alleged errors and discrepancies that have not yet been resolved vitiate the truth claims of the Bible. Article 15. We affirm that the doctrine of inerrancy is grounded in the teaching of the Bible about inspiration. We deny that Jesus' teaching about Scripture may be dismissed by appeals to accommodation or to any natural limitation of his humanity. Article 16. We affirm that the doctrine of inerrancy has been integral to the Church's faith throughout history. We deny that inerrancy is a doctrine invented by scholastic Protestantism, or is a reactionary position postulated in response to negative higher criticism. Article 17. We affirm that the Holy Spirit bears witness to the Scriptures, assuring believers of the truthfulness of God's written Word. We deny that this witness of the Holy Spirit operates in isolation from or against Scripture. Article 18. We affirm that the text of Scripture is to be interpreted by grammatical historical exegesis, taking account of its literary forms and devices, and that Scripture is to interpret Scripture. We deny the legitimacy of any treatment of the text or quest for sources lying beyond it that leads to relativizing, dehistoricizing, or discounting its teaching, or rejecting its claims to authorship. Article 19. We affirm that a confession of the full authority, infallibility, and inerrancy of Scripture is vital to a sound understanding of the whole of the Christian faith. We further affirm that such confession should lead to increasing conformity to the image of Christ. We deny that such confession is necessary for salvation. However, we further deny that inerrancy can be rejected without grave consequences, both to the individual and to the church. So there you have 19 articles with many more affirmations, some of them containing several affirmations and denials. Now we come to the exposition, which I think I'll save the exposition for after the break, though. Why is this important? It's for the same reason that I spend so much time studying the millennium and other, especially doing prophecy once a week and writing. Seems like I can't get away from prophecy. You know, I was almost was begging the Lord to let me write something else other than prophecy. And what do I end up writing? I'm writing a book right now on the millennium called The Millennium Question. And just take a moment here to thank all of you, all the listeners out there, FirstAmendmentRadio.net, all of those that are subscribed to my broadcast and my website. Thank you for that. Thank you for your support and your prayers. I hope and I believe that they are well placed because I know what God is doing in my life through the work that He has called me to do. I want to thank you all for your prayers and for the support, and especially for the few people that have faithfully given to us for 20 years, and some of you for less years than that, but you continue to give faithfully because God has called you to give faithfully to the ministries that He has led you to, and First Amendment Radio being one of those. And those of you that are already supporting other ministries in obedience to God's call for you to support the kingdom work in the world, keep giving where God has called you to give. But pray for me if you're being blessed, and pray for First Amendment Radio and all the work that goes on behind the scenes here. Thank you if you could add us to your prayers, especially if you're being blessed by them, even if you cannot give more. Your prayers are much needed. Pray especially for me and my spiritual life behind the scenes and my adherence to God and His Word in my life continually, whether I'm being watched or not being watched. We all need that kind of accountability in our lives. And some of us don't have any accountability. But we can be accountable to the Holy Spirit, and especially if we can pray for each other. And I pray for all of you, whoever listens, and I don't know who you are, so I can't name you specifically. And when your donations come in, I pray for you and your household, of everyone that donates. And God knows who you are, and I give thanks to God for you as I ask Him to bless you and your households. So thank you very much. We're going to continue this on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Be back in a few minutes.
nation full of wounded and weary souls. They've lost the desire to win the fight. They're just praying it won't be long. With their weakened hearts on a holy cause, they've given everything they owe. But all that's left of the fire of God, all the memories of.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And what we have here is good programming for the mind. I've posted this article, a Chicago statement on biblical inerrancy with the exposition of which I'm going to read in this segment on my website. And I, even if you only hear it, if you hear it several times, that would probably help. But to read it for yourself, I always suggest and encourage people to read God's Word and to read good exposition on God's Word and understanding the doctrine of inerrancy and infallibility of God's Word is very important. So I have this posted on my website. Make sure you check it out. If you're not subscribed to my website, go to nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Or crosstheborder.org, that's crosstheborder.org, and make sure that you subscribe there. There'll be a subscribe button, and then every time I post something, which is usually maybe once or twice a week, but you're not going to be overwhelmed with daily stuff, and like someplace you subscribe to and you can't unsubscribe fast enough. I get that. Believe me, you should see my mailbox. So it's very important that you understand these principles and digest them, and they become a part of your way of thinking about God's Word. You, of course, weigh them for yourself, but very important to understand. So anyway, let's jump to the exposition. Our understanding of the doctrine of inerrancy must be set in the context of the broader teachings of the Scripture concerning itself. This exposition gives an account of the outline of doctrine from which our summary statement and articles are drawn. Creation, revelation, and inspiration. The triune God, who formed all things by His creative utterances and governs all things by His word of decree, made mankind in His own image for a life of communion with Himself, on the model of eternal fellowship of loving communication with the Godhead. As God's image bearer, man was to hear God's word addressed to him and to respond in the joy of adoring obedience. Over and above God's self-disclosure in the created order and the sequence of events within, human beings from Adam on have received verbal messages from him, either directly, as stated in the scripture, or indirectly in the form of part or all of scripture itself. When Adam fell, the Creator did not abandon mankind to final judgment, but promised salvation and began to reveal himself as Redeemer in a sequence of historical events centering on Abraham's family and culminating in the life, death, resurrection, present heavenly ministry, and promised return of Jesus Christ. Within this framework, God has from time to time spoken specific words of judgment and mercy, promise and command to sinful human beings, so drawing them into covenant relation of mutual commitment between him and them, in which he blesses them with gifts of grace, and they bless him in response of adoration. Moses, whom God used as mediator to carry his words to his people at the time of the Exodus, stands at the head of a long line of prophets in whose mouths and writings God put his words for delivery to Israel. God's purpose in this succession of messages was to maintain his covenant by causing his people to know his name, that is, his nature, and his will, both a precept and purpose in the present and for the future. This line of prophetic spokesmen from God came to completion in Jesus Christ, God's incarnate Word, who himself was a prophet, more than a prophet, but not less, and in the apostles and prophets of the first Christian generation, when God's final climactic message, his word to the world concerning Jesus Christ, had been spoken and elucidated by those in the apostolic circle, the sequence of revealed messages ceased. Henceforth, the church was to live and to know God by what he had already said and said for all time. At Sinai, God wrote the terms of his covenant on tables of stone as his enduring witness and for lasting accessibility. And throughout the period of prophetic and apostolic revelation, he prompted men to write the messages given to and through them, along with celebratory records of his dealings with his people, plus moral reflections on covenant life and forms of praise and prayer for covenant mercy. The theological reality of inspiration in the producing of biblical documents corresponds to that of spoken prophecies. Although the human writers' personalities were expressed in what they wrote, the words were divinely constituted. Thus, what Scripture says, God says. Its authority is his authority, for he is its ultimate author, having given it through the minds and words of chosen and prepared men, who in freedom and faithfulness spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Holy Scripture must be acknowledged as the Word of God by virtue of its divine origin. Authority, Christ and the Bible. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Word made flesh, our prophet, priest, and king, is the ultimate mediator of God's communication to man, as he is of all God's gifts of grace. The revelation he gave was more than verbal. He revealed the Father by his presence and his deeds as well, yet his words were crucially important, for he was God. He spoke from the Father, and his words will judge all men at the last day. As the prophesied Messiah, Jesus Christ is the central theme of Scripture. The Old Testament looked ahead to him. The New Testament looks back to his first coming and on to his second. Canonical scripture is the divinely inspired and therefore normative witness to Christ. No hermeneutic, therefore, of which the historical Christ is not the focal point, is acceptable. Holy Scripture must be treated as what it essentially is, the witness of the Father to the incarnate Son. It appears that the Old Testament canon has been fixed by the time of Jesus. The New Testament canon is likewise now closed, inasmuch as no new apostolic witness to the historical Christ can now be born. No new revelation, as distinct from Spirit-given understanding of existing revelation. That's important to know. No new revelation, as distinct from Spirit-given understanding of existing revelation. That's all I claim, is Spirit-given understanding of existing revelation. No new revelation. Though it may be new to you and may be new to me, it is of existing revelation. For the last time, no new revelation, as distinct from Spirit-given understanding of existing revelation, will be given until Christ comes again. The canon was created in principle by divine inspiration. The church's part was to discern the canon which God had created, not to devise one of its own. The word canon, signifying a rule or standard, is a pointer to authority, which means the right to rule and control. Authority in Christianity belongs to God in his revelation, which means, on the one hand, Jesus Christ, the living Word, and on the other hand, Holy Scripture, the written Word. But the authority of Christ and that of the Scripture are one. As our prophet, Christ testified that Scripture cannot be broken. As our priest and king, he devoted his earthly life to fulfilling the law and the prophets, even dying in obedience to the words of messianic prophecy. Thus, as he saw Scripture attesting him and his authority, so by his own submission to Scripture, he attested to its authority. As he bowed to his Father's instruction given in his Bible, our Old Testament, so he requires his disciples to do, not, however, in isolation, but in conjunction with the apostolic witness to himself, which he undertook to inspire by his gift of the Holy Spirit. So Christians show themselves faithful servants of their Lord by bowing to the divine instruction given in the prophetic and apostolic writings, which together make up our Bible. By authenticating each other's authority, Christ and Scripture coalesce into a single fount of authority. The biblically interpreted Christ and the Christ-centered, Christ-proclaiming Bible are from this standpoint one. As from the fact of inspiration, we infer that Scripture says, what Scripture says, God says. So from the revealed relation between Jesus Christ and the Scripture, we may equally declare that what Scripture says, Christ says. Infallibility, inerrancy, interpretation. Holy Scripture, as the inspired Word of God, witnessing authoritatively to Jesus Christ, may properly be called infallible and inerrant. These negative terms have a special value, for they explicitly safeguard crucial positive truths. Infallible signifies the quality of neither misleading nor being misled, and so safeguards in categorical terms the truth that Holy Scripture is a sure, safe, and reliable rule and guide in all matters. Similarly, inerrant signifies the quality of being free from all falsehood or mistake. and so safeguards the truth that Holy Scripture is entirely true and trustworthy in all its assertions. We affirm that canonical Scripture should always be interpreted on the basis that it is infallible and inerrant. However, in determining what the God-taught writer is asserting in each passage, we must pay the most careful attention to its claims and character as a human production. In inspiration, God utilized the culture and conventions of his penman's milieu, a milieu that God controls in his sovereign providence. It is misinterpretation to imagine otherwise. So history must be treated as history. Poetry is poetry, hyperbole and metaphor as hyperbole and metaphor, generalization and approximation as what they are, and so forth. Differences between literary conventions in Bible times and in ours must also be observed, since, for instance, non-chronological narration and imprecise citation were conventional and acceptable and violated no expectations in those days, we must not regard these things as false when we find them in Bible writers. When total precision of a particular kind was not experienced or aimed at, it is no error to not have achieved it. Scripture is inerrant, not in the sense of being absolutely precise by modern standards, but in the sense of making good its claims and achieving that measure of focused truth at which its authors aimed. The truthfulness of Scripture is not negated by the appearance in it of irregularities of grammar or spelling, phenomenal descriptions of nature, reports of false statements, example, the lies of Satan, or seeming discrepancies between one passage and another. It is not right to set the so-called phenomena of Scripture against the teaching of Scripture about itself. Apparent inconsistencies should not be ignored. Solution of them, where this can be convincingly achieved, will encourage our faith. And where for the present no convincing solution is at hand, we shall significantly honor God by trusting his assurance that his word is true, despite these appearances, and by maintaining our confidence that one day they will be seen to have been illusions. Inasmuch as all Scripture is the product of a single divine mind, interpretation must stay within the bounds of the authority of Scripture and eschew hypotheses that would correct one biblical passage by another, whether in the name of progressive revelation or of the imperfect enlightenment of the inspired writer's mind. In the book I'm writing, that's the paragraph I quote in the book I'm writing. Although Holy Scripture is nowhere culture-bound in the sense that its teaching lacks universal validity, it is sometimes culturally conditioned by the customs and conventional views of a particular period, so that the application of its principles today calls for a different sort of action. Skepticism and criticism. Since the Renaissance, and more particularly since Enlightenment, worldviews have been developed which involve skepticism about basic Christian tenets. Such are the agnosticism, which denies that God is knowable, the rationalism, which denies that he is incomprehensible, the idealism, which denies that he is transcendent, and the existentialism, which denies rationality in his relationship with us. When these un- and anti-biblical principles seep into men's theologies at a presuppositional level, as today they frequently do, faithful interpretation of Holy Scripture becomes impossible. Transmission and translation. Since God has nowhere promised an inerrant transmission of Scripture, it is necessary to affirm that only the autographic text of the original documents was inspired, and to maintain the need of textual criticism as a means of detecting any slips that may have crept into the text in the course of its transmission. The verdict of this science, however, is that the Hebrew and Greek text appear to be amazingly well preserved, so that we are amply justified in affirming, with the Westminster Confession, a singular providence of God in this matter and in declaring that the authority of Scripture is in no way jeopardized by the fact that the copies we possess are not entirely error-free. Similarly, no translation is or can be perfect, and all translations are an additional step away from the autographa. Yet the verdict of linguistic science is that English-speaking Christians, at least, are exceedingly well served in these days with a host of excellent translations and have no cause for hesitating to conclude that the true Word of God is within their reach. Indeed, in view of the frequent repetition in Scripture of the main matters with which it deals, also of the Holy Spirit's constant witness to and through the Word, no serious translation of the Holy Scripture will so destroy its meaning as to render it unable to make its reader wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, I agree with that. Very complicated to say but read, but I get it. Meaning that the Holy Spirit can work through many of these translations, even with their errors, even the Living Bible. But God forbid you should buy one of those. Because as I said, it's not even a translation. Yeah, so anyway, inerrancy and authority. And I'm quick running out of time. And oh, I'm at the end here. In our affirmation of the authority of Scripture as involving its total truth, we are consciously standing with Christ and his apostles. Indeed, with the whole Bible and with the mainstream of church history from the first days even until very recently. We are concerned at the casual, inadvertent, and seemingly thoughtless way in which a belief of such far-reaching importance has been given up by so many in our day. We are conscious, too, that great and grave confusion result from ceasing to maintain the total truth of the Bible, whose authority one professes to acknowledge. The result of taking this step is that the Bible which God gave loses its authority, and what has authority instead is a Bible reduced in content according to the demands of one's critical reasoning and principle reducible for still further once one has started. This means that at bottom, independent reason now has authority, as opposed to scriptural teaching. If this is not seen, and if for the time being basic evangelic doctrines are still held, persons denying the full truth of Scripture may claim an evangelical identity, while methodically they have moved away from the evangelical principle of knowledge to an unstable subjectivism, and will find it hard to not move further away. We affirm that what the Scripture says, God says. May he be glorified. Amen and amen. And we're almost at the end of the hour. So that must be read. I've already read it several times, and I will likely read it more times to grasp. And several of those paragraphs at the end were rather difficult to even read out loud. But the meaning will get through to you. Just hold on to God's word. It is reliable. It is good. And you can believe it. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that's the only place that is reliable. Well, we'll see you all next time.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.